Morning Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good.
That is,
I've got my nice husky morning voice on.
Nice, that's what we like to hear. It's quite fitting for the tone of music you've brought us today. What are we talking about?
You're absolutely right. So we're doing neo soul.
Ooh la la.
Sort of the crunchy alternative organic food, knit caps, incense soul music.
Nice, that's a perfect description of it. And I'm just going to hit this first track so we can hear a little bit of it. So this is...
You can already hear the sort of... Yeah?
Oh, I was just going to say, so this is Erica Badu, and what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you can already hear that it's different from... It's an alternative to the sort of hypey digital club R&B music at the time.
Mm-hmm. So what era are we talking about here?
So we're talking about late 90s, 2000s. So
I was going to say, because this is still kind of going on today, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And so I guess that's sort of the problem with the genre. So it's a great package of music, but it's problematic sort of naming it and circling it, because it's sort of acting as if there's two kinds of black popular music. So it was a way to market it as different than the sort of, you know, what they call booties and blunts, R&B. So this is Erica Badu, and she was really big, important. She had her album in 1997 when it came out, just brought this music to the mainstream.
Hard out. She's just got such a timeless voice as well, though. This sounds like it could have been made last year.
Yeah.
So how did it kind of come about, Kirsten?
Well, so here's the weird thing, is that it's been going the whole time. Like, most of these artists hate the term neo-soul and say that they're just doing soul music.
Yeah.
And you can also point to this sort of different branch of soul music going on much earlier, like in the music of Prince, or even like Sade in England. People even pointed out Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder, that, you know, soul has always had this branch of more sort of Afrocentric, experimental, chill lyrics. So most of these artists hate this word neo-soul, because they're calling it something new, and they're like, oh, well, soul music never stopped.
Yeah.
It's a marketing term. And the irony is, this is a marketing term, and it literally was invented by the guy that was Erica Badu's record company owner, and he managed D'Angelo and Erica Badu. And so D'Angelo also had a track, an album in the mid-90s, Brown Sugar, that did really well. And so it's, when Erica Badu disses the term, she's kind of dissing her own record label. But
it's a double diss.
Yes. But then some people feel like, well, you know, it's a marketing term, but it works because it describes something. And I guess part of the description is in contrast to what people would call R&B or urban. Because it doesn't have the hiddenism, you know, and sort of pop and dance elements.
Yeah.
This is about conscious lyrics.
And it's much chiller, on a really basic level. It's much chiller than that kind of high energy R&B.
Absolutely.
So this is from the Mama's Gun album. Didn't You Know is the name of this track. But as Tess just pointed out, it is still going, very much so. And we're about to hear from some much more recent releases.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a kind of a genre that suits both mainstream acts as well as sort of, you know, your bedroom producers, you know, like, and so I guess that's what sort of keeps feeding it and going. It'll get like the monetary success and the Grammys.
Yeah.
But it will also get the sort of home people creating new versions of it.
I just got to put it out there. I think it's a fantastic genre.
Oh, I completely agree.
Pretty much everything that fits into it, I enjoy, I'd say.
I think it's interesting, though, when you get a genre name or, like, a genre kind of category where a lot of the artists are, like, a bit uncomfortable about the name of that. I think we had this a while ago. I'm trying to remember the name of the genre you brought us, Kirsten, but it was FKA Twigs and Dev Hynes and all those sort of alternative young black musicians who are like, you wouldn't call us this if we weren't black. And that's something interesting.
Well, that's right. So that was like a sort of another version of this PBR&B. You know, it's sort of to name. And is there a racial thing? Is it because they want to sell to a white audience that if we call it soul music or R&B, people will think it's for like urban radio stations. But if we give it this different name, we can sell it in white spaces.
Mm.
I hate to always get down on this race thing every
time. It's really interesting. And it's definitely part of the marketing, maybe. This is Anderson .Paak, of course, with Schoolboy Q.
Love him.
He's a fantastic performer as well. His laneway set was amazing a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, and his Tiny Desk concert, and people are watching him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the weird thing. I've got a list of some of his Grammy wins. He wins for both rap and R&B.
Are we talking about, Anderson .Paak here or Schoolboy Q?
Yeah.
Anderson .Paak.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
And so, like, because they don't know where to put him, you know, is it rap? Is it R&B? You know, like, because
he kind of floats between the genres, depending on what he's feeling complex. Like.
Yeah, and obviously you can hear jazz, absolutely.
Yeah. Actually, that's something that's quite interesting. Jazz is hugely influential in this genre, I guess, in the same way that jazz and soul go hand in hand. Of course,
neo-soul
would.
Yeah, and you've always had that. We've always had that jazz strain of rap music as well, you know, with like The Roots and Q-Tip, who both worked with Erykah Badu. In fact, she had a band, a collective called the Soulquarians that has like The Roots and Mos Def and Common and Q-Tip in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's their problem, like that neo-soul to them acts like soul had a beginning and an end, and this is a new version, and they feel they're just part of a long lineage.
Yeah. Well, which makes sense as well, because, I mean, there's a big old 20-year gap between that Erykah Badu track and this Anderson .Paak track.
Yeah. And as I said before, this music never stopped if you add people like Prince and Sade from the 80s.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, even as a marketing term, it's weird. I mean, because see who gets put into it now, like John Legend, which many people might not think sounds like this work, Frank Ocean.
Oh, yep.
Then you've got like the sort of diva singers, Jill Scott and India Ari.
Mm.
But then you've got Janelle Monáe and Solange and
DRAM. And that kind of could also be pop in its purest form as well. So it sort of seems to be spanning quite a lot of genre adjacent situations
It really is a marketing term, isn't it? It means black popular music that's not R&B and has
black popular music that's hard to put in a box.
Whereas, you know, they all see themselves connected and it's a lineage. And in fact, I've seen a lot of people, they put Lauryn Hill in this category, but back when her album came out in 2000, she was firmly hip-hop, you know?
They
wouldn't have called it soul music.
It's also kind of maybe retrospective in that sense. Like, if we're pulling in people like Prince, we're saying, oh yeah, I guess they kind of like count as that as well. Sort of shows you it is that kind of constructed idea.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I guess we, you know, it's just change our understanding of genre. Like, they're not these sort of emergent, cohesive musical movements always. I mean, we've seen them. There are subcultures really, you know, really located in a scene and really particular music.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're marketing terms, which also isn't bad, you know? Like, there's a lot of music, and if you want to find more that you like or you want to structure
it can be helpful,
or a concert or a radio station, So I think it's funny that artists always push back against the genre, but
no one wants to be put in a box. Yeah.
But it is helpful, you know, when you're sort of coordinating or grouping awards, right?
Yeah.
Compilation album, you know, there's all sorts of reasons to help us sort of negotiate through all this music.
So we are, of course, listening to Thundercat right now. This is Them Changes. This is another artist I'm very lucky to see when he played at Auckland City Limits a couple of years ago. Someone's texted in, I kind of see this as sunset cocktail hour music. It's smooth when you are one or two drinks in, but groovy enough to lead you to dance in 4 to 5 drinks time. Wowee.
Oh, we'll have to experiment with that. Now, Thundercat, he's the one that did the music for Kendrick Lamar's Pimp a Butterfly. So there we see that sort of hip-hop merging as well, you know? Like mm-hmm. So he's putting this music into the hip-hop space. And you can hear a lot of the jazz and his music, Herbie Hancock, Stevie Wonder.
Mm.
But those BBs there, that's totally soul music, you know?
Yeah, totally, yeah. I think that text kind of nails it, though. It's so danceable as well. Somebody else has texted in, shows the meaninglessness of genrefication. I mean, where's the blues in R&B? That's maybe a contentious point, but an interesting one nonetheless.
Well, that's right. So that's why, I mean, they are, you know, one of the famous academics that writes about genre. He says they're there to organize the sales process. And they are. But also, is that necessarily a bad thing, right?
Interesting, yeah.
You know, it helps us, you know, plow through this abundance. And, you know that if you liked X artist, you'll like Y.
And that is helpful. Who hasn't discovered something cool through that kind of messaging in the past? Yeah, no, there's definitely a time and a place for it. And as you pointed out, Tess, they're all bloody great tracks by some really, really awesome artists as well. I don't know how you can't sort of dance along to that.
So go through Neosol. Spotify list, you know, and that's help you know that will help you to find, you know, to find a cluster of these artists. I guess it's just when people feel limited, we don't want to limit. But then sometimes it's also really important for sort of identity, you know, people you know, like metal or goth, people really want that identity of being a part of a genre, but these artists don't.
Totally. Well, this is very interesting. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for bringing us Neo Soul this morning. Bit of Erykah Badu, Anderson .Paak, and Thundercat we were listening to there. What are you going to bring us next week?
We're going to go to New Wave.
Woohoo!
Get your shoulder pads.
Excellent. New Wave. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people very excited for that one. Hey, thank you, Kirsten. Have a lovely weekend.
Okay.
See you next week.
Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
It certainly